Romeo India Whiskey here with the help of K2 Kilo Echo Yankee. His name is Mel. My name is Dick. Mel and Dick try to run something called the... We try to orchestrate this group of crazy people on something called the Technical Net. It's the gathering, the clan of ham radio operators, and they try to help each other understand how all this electronics works. Last week we had a significant discussion on the subject of how houses are wired, properly and improperly wired, as far as the 120 and 240 or 208 volts coming into them. We get into all kinds of subjects of interest to ham radio operators. So any subject of interest to ham radio operators is appropriate for the TechNet, with a couple of rare exceptions. We get a little bit liberal on that one. Sometimes people get a little bit angry that we range kind of far and wide away from purely ham radio objects, ham radio subjects. But let's face it, there are 25 or 26 different kinds of ham radio. And inside of a ham radio operator, let me drop. Inside of a ham radio operator, I think you've got, in many cases, a scientist that's trying to get out. So they like to understand not only how things work, but why they work. Why does Mother Nature act that way? So we get into all kinds of crazy subjects like that. A person signs into the Technical Net by giving Mel and Dick your call letters and your name. Try to remember your name, even if you know that you know your name very well. I'm very forgetful. So give me your name with your call letters, and please succeed that with the word yes, which means you do have a question or a comment for the net. You need not sign in just because you want to tell us you're listening. After 27 years of Technical Net, and this is Technical Net number 1,281 of the series that began in September of 1982. By this time, we sort of accept the fact that there are people in the tri-state area listening to the TechNet. So you don't have to tell us you're listening. We sort of assume that. So do sign in if you've got a question or a comment or a homework assignment and whatever. We're going to be hearing some of those. So give me your call letters and name right now. And that yes, K2RIW listening.
WA2RAS, Jeff, yes. KC2MDP, Steve, and yes.
WS2N, Paul, with a yes on last week's topic. Finalized.
KC1221. Richard, yes.
Evening all, K2KEY.
Okay, so far I've heard Jeff, Steve, Paul, and Richie in that order. Have I missed anyone with any doubles? Give me your call letters and name and the word yes right now.
And 2YJC, Lou, got a follow-up.
Good evening all, K2KEY.
Mel recognized, Lou recognized. Was there anyone else?
N2AJN, yes.
There's a mysterious person who did not give us his name. Lucky for him, I know his name is Wesley. Okay, one last call. Anyone else? Give me your call letters, name, and the word yes. K2RIW.
KC2RUA, Steve.
Steve, is that KC2 India Uniform Alpha? Go ahead. Steve, you're more noise than signal, and I didn't hear that. Try one more time. I thought it was Kilo 2 India Uniform Alpha. Please correct me. Okay, Steve didn't make it that time. The first person who signed in with a real question or a comment was Jeff, WA2, I think it's Romeo Alpha Foxtrot. Not sure, but correct me, Jeff, and you got it, Jeff. K2LAW. My name is Dick.
Okay, Dick. WA2 Romeo Alpha Sierra. And you may recall the net was you and the net were very helpful on a previous problem that I had where my transmissions on 80 meters would set off the sprinkler system on voice peaks. You know, the heads would pop up, the pipes would bang. And anyway, we solved that problem thanks to you and the net. Now a new issue has arisen, so to speak, on 40 meters. This is a different rig, not that it matters, but on 40 meters, as soon as you hit 500 watts, it will trigger the burglar alarm, which is a huge problem. And where the alarm is being triggered is what puzzles me is it's hardwired. In other words, it's a connection to the outside gate, if you will, to the backyard, and that's a hard wire. And yet, you know, it somehow is getting into the system. Go ahead, Dick.
As you can tell, fellas, recognize the fact that there's a full 3 or 4 second delay before you get the beep. And if you pick up real fast and don't wait for the beep, there's a chance you're going to time out. And Jeff, you came close, but you didn't. Now, before I proceed with the 40 meter problem, tell me what you did to solve the 80 meter problem, where as you transmitted on 80 meters, your sprinkler used to be false alarmed. And what was the final solution in that particular case? Over to you, Jeff, but do wait for the beep.
There were many good suggestions, which I'm sure would have worked. I chose the path of least resistance, put another way, the easiest fix to implement, which was to pull the power to the sprinkler system when I'm preparing to operate. In other words, it's a transformer that plugs into an AC line. Just simply pull it out of the wall and kill the juice. And that was that problem was solved.
Okay, you remove the primary power by pulling the wall wart that runs the sprinkler, which means that the electromagnetic interference itself was not solved. But I understand that's a good solution as long as you're willing to do that every time you operate, disconnect the sprinkler. A little bit of a pain. It'd be nice to find out where it's really coming from. Now, in the case of the burglar alarm system, you say it's hardwired to, I think you said, the fence in the backyard. And the word hardwired has relative meaning. By that I mean it's not a wireless remote sensor. It is a real, we'll say, twisted pair or something like that that goes out to a sensor that recognizes the fact that a gate or whatever in the backyard has been disturbed. And to your eye, that may look like a nice sealed system. To 500 watts or 40 meters, that wiring going into the backyard is an antenna. It's picking up some amount of signal, sending it back to the alarm system, and false alarming it is my guess. Therefore, one of the first things I would try doing is if you have access to the wire going to the backyard, and by the way, the burglar alarm system has many sensors throughout the house. I'm a little bit curious as to how you found out that the one going to the backyard, well, I guess I can see how now. The burglar alarm system has some kind of a display panel, and if something has been tripped, the display panel will tell you which one of the sensors. Let me drop. So I'm going to assume that the sensor going to the backyard is the one that lit up on the instrument panel, telling you that that's the place where a break-in appears to be taking place. So that wiring going to the backyard is an antenna. And so properly putting a ferrite device around that wire can act as an RF choke and stop the RF energy being picked up by that wiring from getting back to the microprocessor that's in the control panel and false alarming it, That's one approach. Bypass capacitors. There's even a slim chance that the real pickup is taking place through the 110-volt line and that the whole instrument panel of the burglar alarm system is hot with RF and the wiring going to the background is acting like the grounding. I mean, who is the source and who is the sink is an interesting set of questions. So you'd like to leave the burglar alarm system operational all the time. I mean, to turn it off every time you go on 40 meters is a bit of a pain. On top of that, there's always the fear that you'll leave it unplugged by mistake when you drive away from the house, and that's not good. So ways of stopping RF energy from flowing on that wiring to the backyard, whether it be by ferrite RF chokes that you put on that wire, bypass capacitors in the chassis itself, and other techniques, I think is your next step, because to really put instrumentation on the system to find out where it's coming from, not easy to take the brute force approach and doing this kind of shielding and bypassing and whatever is the next step, and I think. Wait for the beep, but tell me, what does that wire look like? Is it contained in a conduit? The wire that goes to the backyard that gets tripped, what does that wire look like? Wait for the beep, you've got it, Jeff, K2LIW.
Okay, K2LIW, WA2RAS. I don't exactly know. First of all, you're absolutely right. The reason that I know which zone it is that's being tripped is because it lights up on the control panel. It tells you what's been tripped, and that's the only zone. Entrance to the back, gate, if you will. As far as what the wire looks like, I don't know. There's a box which has the some sort of a magnetic sensor, and the system is tripped when you break the magnetic field, open the gate, which breaks the field. There's a wire that goes from the box on the gate right through the house. I've never actually seen the wire. I don't know if that helps or not. K2LIW, WA2RAS.
Question.
Okay, Wesley has a question. Go ahead, Wesley.
Okay, I have a question. What control panel it is? Is it NAVCO, ARMCO, ABI, Radionics? Is it, could you tell me what kind of system do you have?
I guess Wesley is asking what brand name, Jeff. And by the way, Jeff, my call letters are K2 Romeo India Whiskey. You got it, Jeff. Wait for the beep.
Oh, I'm sorry, K2 Romeo India Whiskey. The system is a ADT, Alpha Delta Tango. That's the system. I could run down and take a look if there's something more specific than that on it. Go ahead.
Okay. Is this a 6-zone or 8-zone system, or it's more than 8-zone, then the system contains actually the transponders? Back to you, Antoine.
Well, it's definitely more than 6 zones. Somehow I had the number 12 in my head, but maybe it's... Maybe it's at least 8 zones. It's at least 8 zones, and possibly it's more than definitely more than 6 zones. Go ahead.
Okay, into exchange. ADT utilize former ADEMCO, and right now the Honeywell systems, and this system comes with the configuration. 6-zone, 8-zone, 8 zone doubled would actually give you 16 zone, and then the zones over 8 zone you have a transponders, and the systems that are 4110, 4120, Vista 10, 20, 30, 40, and 50. Could you tell me which one of the system is that?
I don't know. I have to take another I'd have to take another look at the panel, which is a little ways away from here. Off the top of my head, I'm going to say it's either the it's definitely not the sixth zone. It's either the eighth zone, or it's the eighth zone doubled that you mentioned. Go ahead.
Okay, in eight zones doubled, you have this scenario. You have actually two receivers, two resistors that are connected to one zone, and this zone is being read as two zones, zone number one and zone number 10, or zone number two and zone number 11. That's how it's being read. Now, usually one part of the zone is connected to the ground. The other part is connected to the terminal. The voltage between terminals of the zone is 1.2 volts, the maximum. The typical resistor that is being used is 2 ohms. If you do not have a zone doubling, at that point, my understanding is that if you have a problem, just find out if the installer who installed the alarm system put the ground to the panel. Now, if you just have the magnetic contact that has a conductor on built inside, that's a typical magnetic contact, and uses the magnetic field of an additional magnet to keep the zone closed, when the field disappears, then the zone appears to be open. When it's open and the system is armed, then you have an alarm condition. Alarm goes off. So my suggestion is go and check if you have a ground. If you open up the box, on the right-hand side, all the way to the right-hand side, you have a screw terminal, and it has a symbol of the ground on it. Back to you, Anthony J.
Let me ask a question here, Wesley. Am I?
Go ahead.
I was waiting for the beep. magnet, when the gate is in the closed mode on his backyard, I'm going to guess it operates something like a reed relay. The reed relay, when it sees the local magnetic field of the magnet and the gate in the right position, becomes a closed circuit that grounds that wire going back to the panel and tells him everything's okay. If the wiring gets broken, or if the magnet disappears, and in either case, the reed relay, if that's what it is, as the sensor, becomes an open circuit, then the circuit back at the alarm panel becomes alarmed. And that circuit back at the alarm panel with the 2K resistance is looking for an open circuit or a short circuit in order to make its determination. And that circuit probably is active operational amplifiers or T-squared L logic or whatever, and RF energy appearing on that can complicate things. I think you're suggesting now that the grounding wiring might not be direct enough so that it becomes more RF sensitive. I think that's what you're saying, Wesley. We'll wait for the beep. N2XJN, K2RIW.
Completely wrong impression, Dick. This is not true. it's a simplification of the factors existing in the alarm system, what you think. But actually, the system is looking for the steady resistance of 2 kilo ohms plus minus 300 ohms. In some of the older systems, 200 ohms. At that point, if you have wire shorted, somebody came to the property when the alarm was not armed, and he shorted these two wires, creating the loop to be closed. The system, between the terminals, which are two terminals for each of the zones, one is ground, one is the hut. Actually, they name it hut for the positive one. If that resistance is not being found, or the resistance of the loop is greater than 300 ohm plus 2000 ohm, then this loop is being invalidated. At the same time, if the resistance is less than 2000 ohm, which is 2 ohms, minus 300 ohm, that resistance is being, that loop is being invalidated in terms of system reading it as a closed loop. Back to you, Dick, and to the ship.
Very fine. You're giving us valuable information here, Wesley. I think I see what's going on. In order to thwart an intelligent burglar who thinks all he's got to do is come and short-circuit the wiring going to the remote sensor, and therefore he can open the gate and not trip the system, he would be naive. So it's looking for, in one particular model, 2 kilo ohms plus or minus 300. In other words, it has in the main control panel what I would call a voltage window detector. It's looking for, or a resistance detector, but the window equivalent of that, 1.7 kilo ohms or more, 2.3 kilo ohms or less. You've got to be in that window not to alarm the system. Go outside of that window and you alarm it. So since it is a voltage or current or resistance sensing system looking for a very specific window and a substantial amount of RF energy picked up on that wiring can create rectification in the alarm circuitry, which shifts reference voltages and therefore creates a false alarm. So therefore the system is RF sensitive. I'm going to send it back to you, see if I've made some good guesses on this one, in which case you and I are going to have to suggest to Jeffrey how he can make the system less RF sensitive. N2XJN for confirmation. Sounds to me like you've done quite a bit of work on burglar alarm systems. K2LIW in the TechNet.
With N2EO.
Yeah, everybody wait for the beep. Go ahead, Wesley.
Okay, N2XJN. No, I'm just trying to get the general knowledge in certain areas, and when I do something, I try to do it good. Yes, you're right in this matter. Although, most of the Honeywell systems, they have ability to program of no end-of-line resistor. At that point, if you do not have an end-of-line resistor and the loop is being closed, the system will read that particular zone as a closed one. You do also have in most of Honeywell systems ability to reverse the zone when the zone reacts on open. And yes, you're right, the red actually contains in the magnet, contains the small bulb where you have two contacts in the presence of the electromagnetic field or magnetic field. That contact is closed. When there is no presence of magnetic field, that contact will open. Back to you, Dick, and to XJN.
Rich recognized, but I'm going to guess now that when that read relay or other kind of magnetic sensor that's remote, like at the gate in his backyard, is closed, it completes a circuit with a local 2K resistor right at the gate circuit, the detecting circuit. So therefore, the wiring back to his control panel wants to see 2 kilo ohms. And any breaking of that wire where it would see an open circuit, or short-circuiting of that wire where it would see 0 ohms, falls outside of the window of 2 kilo-ohms plus or minus 300, and therefore the alarm is set off. So I am guessing that the magnetic sensor has the 2 kilo-ohm proper sensing resistor right at the remote sensor at the gate. Is that approximately correct, Wesley? N2XJN, wait for the beep, K2LIW.
That is correct in terms of theory. In practice, most of these guys never install end-of-line resistor next to the proximity of the sensor, because for the purpose of troubleshooting, it is very difficult to just find these resistors or just try to disassemble the resistor in order to the loop. And most of them actually put the end-of-line resistor in the alarm box, where actually they can disconnect one of the wires from the resistor and put their ohm meter to find out what is the resistance of the loop, or they use the generators. The generator is simply the generator of the sound of that could be read from the probe. So when you're going through the wire, along the wire, you can hear that. Some of the sensors, some of these probes are capable of finding the breakage of the wire. Back to you, Dick, and to Jim.
I see. I'm getting the impression now that some installers make shortcuts, put the 2K resistor at the control panel, not at the remote sensor where it should be. Therefore, if the system becomes vulnerable to a person who wants to bypass the system, who wants to thwart the system, he could create a short circuit in that wiring, and therefore he can open the gate without alarming the system. Not very nice. And we're about to get into how we create RF desensitization. Right now, it sounds to me, Jeff, like your window function cannot tolerate 40 meters of RF. Rich, N2EO, has got a comment. Rich, I wonder if you've run similar burglar alarm systems, and what did you do to solve the problem? N2EO, K2RIW in effect net. Wait for the beep.
Okay, Jay, K2RIW, N2EO. On a new rig, by the way. I hope everything sounds all right. Dick, I just had an alarm system put in, and what I was going to suggest to Jeff, I have no pecuniary interest, as the word says, but Barry, N2MB, who's got a good working knowledge of RF, runs a small business called Nassau Security Systems. And since my father passed away and I'm living alone, I wanted a medical alert, you know, one of these pendants and an alarm system. Takes him a while to do it because Barry is semi-retired, but he did put in a very nice system for me, and it's not complete yet. We've got the burglar system in. We've got the pendant in with the medical alert. He's going to be putting in fire, smoke, water, and carbon monoxide detectors in the coming weeks. But I was going to suggest that Jeff maybe give Barry a call, because What he's got is somebody with an unusual pair of knowledge, electronics, ham radio, and who has a working knowledge of alarm systems. Barry put in a system by a company called DSC, Delta Sierra Charlie. It's a Canadian company. That's what he likes. He put in a panel and two keypads. Back to that, N2EO.
Comment.
Not for nothing. I don't think you should be talking about alarm systems and how to beat them.
No, we're teaching people how they work. You had a further comment, Wesley? Wait for the beep.
Okay, N2XJN. Well, I can claim that it would be very hard for any alarm system professional to beat me with my knowledge about alarm system, just because, as I said, when I do something, I do it right. And I try to get the knowledge as much as I can. And what I can suggest you to do is, I can bet that. Give me one alarm guy who works professionally 20 years and let him beat me with the knowledge. With medical alert, the old time dialers contained the recorded message and the number. There was a good technology, but disappeared just because of the fact that central stations want your money. So my understanding is that you can still find them, you program it to 911, and then the message of medical alert. This way, when you press the pendant, you will have that medical alert free of central station monitoring fees. That's my suggestion to you. Otherwise, you're going to be paying additional money for the medical alert. Depends from the dealer and depends from the central station. Back to you, Dick, and to XJN.
Not true. And to XJN and the group, K2RIW. I'm listening to a nice, large carrier signal tonight, Wesley. So the condition you had last week, you've corrected it, and you're nice and loud into the machine. That's the good news. Your audio is set a little bit too enthusiastic. That mic gain should be turned down a little bit. Now, one of the suggestions that Rich N2EO made to you, Jeff, was that Barry N2 Moon Bounce, N2 Mike Bravo. Barry is a guy who often signs into the technical net, a guy who has been installing burglar alarms and similar things in homes for lots of years. We all know him very well, Barry, and because of his RF knowledge, radio frequency knowledge, when it comes to coming up with techniques for stopping the RF energy on 40 meters from being picked up by your backyard sensor, Barry would be able to do that. So none of us work for Barry, therefore there's no pecuniary interest here in us suggesting that that is a possible solution. We're about to suggest other solutions to you, and that is bypassing capacitors and or ferrite devices on the wiring going to the sensor in the backyard. And you're going to have to find out which one of the terminals at the main control panel is the one that goes to the backyard. And you can probably find that one pretty fast by turning on the alarm system and shorting one of those terminals to ground, so to speak, and find out which one lights up the indication for backyard. So very rapidly you'll find out which wire in particular, and you have to stop that wire from being RF sensitive. Let me turn it back to you, Jeff, to see if you've got any further questions on what you've heard so far. WA2, Romeo Alpha Sierra, K2RIW in the TechNet. Wait for the beep, Jeff.
K2RIW in the net, WA2RAS. Well, this is all very, very fascinating, and I've been taking notes, and these are all great things to try. Off the top of my head, and just because of previous problems, in fact, many previous problems with the RF in the shack, I suspect that I have RF in the line, and that this is a contributing factor. These are all good things to try, and I jotted down November 2 Mike Bravo's call, and that's another one. So thank you for that one, Rich. Thank you, Wesley, and thank you, Dick. K2RIW, the WA2RAS with the problems.
Then to you.
Wesley with the practical note to the gentleman.
Yeah, Rich and Wesley recognized, and you said some magic words there, Jeff. Many of us will take a simple piece of coax cable, run it through a dipole-like antenna, and you can get away with it most of the time, where you simply take the center conductor, connect it to the right-hand side of the dipole, and the shield, you connect it to the left-hand side, with no balloning device. You do that, and the antenna will work quite well, but by definition, there will be RF energy crawling back down that coaxial transmission line, and you will definitely have some amount of RF energy in the shack. So the transmission line, which is part of the wiring of your house, so to speak, and the shack itself, could be aggravating your fire alarm system. It could be aggravating your burglar alarm system and so on, smoke detectors and whatever. If you did install a balloning device at the dipole antenna, that could make significant improvement, and you would be stopping the problem at the source as opposed to taking multiple steps downrange to solve the problem. And the balloning device, let me drop, the balloning device that you put at the antenna could be anything from as simple as taking three or four or five turns of coax cable on, let's say, a 8 or a 12-inch diameter circle, taping them together, those turns of coax cable, right at the dipole. That constitutes an RF choke. That's a poor man's balun. It can take a kilowatt of power. It runs across a lot of frequency ranges. And in many cases, it'll solve the problem. So a simple RF choke, like I just described, is something definitely worth trying. The more elaborate approach would go out and buy a real kilowatt-rated balloning device. That's one of these white tubes, in many cases. It's about 4 inches in diameter and about 8 or 10 inches long. And it's got some nice mechanical setup for it, where it's got a UHF connector at the bottom and a suspension hook at the top and two screw eyes coming out the side where you connect the dipole to. That's another way of doing it. But so adding either a poor man's balun or a real commercially made balun at your antenna, no matter what kind of antenna it is, whether it be a Yagi, a dipole, a ground plane, whatever, could definitely make an improvement, and it's worth a try. And then maybe we'll stop the problem at the source. Now, Rich and Wesley want to give you some more comments. Rich first, and to EO. Go ahead, Rich.
K2GJE.
K2GJE. Recognized. You're third on the list. Rich first, and Rich is going to wait for the beep. And to EO, go ahead.
Okay, Dick, I just wanted to correct something that Wesley said. You're not allowed to have a dialer to the police. They're illegal. You must use Central Station. And the other thing I want to correct him on, there is no additional charge for putting medical alerts. It's one flat rate for Central Station. The alarm system sends a particular code. One code is for fire, one is for burglary, one is for medical alert. You can have it with verification or without verification. Without means they get a code XYZ. It says medical alert, they call EMS. With verification, they call you up and they say, is this a real emergency, or is it, they want to know if it's a false hit. If you don't pick up the phone or you tell them it's real, they go ahead and call EMS. And I know in New York City, and I believe that's the one in Suffolk too, everything must be done through Central Station. Telephone dialers are illegal. They have been for many years. Also, what I was going to say, Dick, Jeff may have an issue there because AT&T uses a proprietary system. Their panel and keypad is proprietary. So I don't know. They try and keep independence out of the ADT systems on purpose. Back to that, N2EO.
Very fine, Rich. Glad for that additional information. Wesley, into XJN, you had some additional comments. Wait for the beep. Turn your radio down a little bit if you haven't already done so. You got it, Wesley.
This is Antoine. Licensing is being handled by Department of State.
for the alarm, fire and alarm installations. And you have two types of license. One that is managed by state and one that is managed by city. In certain areas, I agree. Towns, this signal is supposed to be managed by the central station. Yes, you're right. But central station, as any other business, still tend to charge you the money. And he is right into the fact that some of the central station treat it as another zone and they do not charge the money. But most of the central stations, they have a charging up to 8 zone and over 8 zone. And the dealer then who uses the central station has to accommodate that factor into his price that he's presenting to the buyer. So there is no charge per call, but depends from the number of zones. You are being charged by the number of zones if it exceeds the center certain number. Let me stop for a moment. Typically the central stations charge the alarm company around $8 for the account, and then the alarm company charge the client anywhere from $29.99 to $35. That's typical. For ADT, it's mostly $35. As far as the wiring, typical wiring for ADT systems, which is Honeywell system, is that what I can recall from my head, on the left-hand side, when you open up the box, terminal 1 and 2 is the transformer, which is the AC transformer, 16.5 volt, and then next terminal 3 is plus, terminal number 4 is minus. And then 5, 6, and 7 are the terminals for the keypad. Now, starting from terminal number 8, the zone starts. In most of the systems, they have 8 zones. It is being one screw is being utilized for the 2 zones. Means, for the low, which is minus, which is the ground, you have one screw. And the zoning starts from, let's say, number 8, which is the high of the zone, then number 9 screw, which is the one for the 2 zones, so zone number 1 and zone number 2, let's say, and number 10, which is the next terminal, which is high for zone number 2. And that repeats itself. When you look on the right-hand side, all the way to the right-hand side of that horizontal screwing terminal, you're going to see the screw. In most of the system, this is the screw number 20, which is the last screw of the 4 screws for the telephone line. And the screw 21, mostly, but not always, but this is the last screw. It is mostly square, very much visible and separated from the rest of the screws. It's the ground. Just check if you have a ground. That's most of the problems that you're going to have with it. Back to you, Dick, and to XM.
Glenn recognized KC2QIQ, but we're going to go to K2GJE first. Edwin, if I got you correct, and if you're addressing this issue of Jeff's burglar alarm, please give us your information. If you've got a brand new question on a brand new subject, then we're going to have to add you to the list because there's a couple of people ahead of you. K2GJE, K2RIW. Edwin, if it's you, go ahead.
Okay, you should drop the subject.
Okay, so just a comment. This is it. I had at work an ADT system. They ran a nice...
You got burglars arrest. This is not good.
...wire from the control panel to the nearest cold water pipe. The other thing is, I don't know if he has a standalone system or he has central office monitoring. If he has central office monitoring and he opens up that panel, it will alert them that there has been tampering. Back to you. Rich, over.
Completely untrue. Most of them, they don't have a read magnet on or read switch on the panel.
Okay, we'll eventually get to the bottom of that one. Glenn, KCQ, QIQ, go right ahead with your comment. Wait for the beep.
Comment?
Good evening, Dick. Good evening, Mel. I've fixed a few of these problems with alarm systems and EMI, and sometimes it'll hit on 10 meters. 10 meters a lot. 80 meters quite a few times. And oddly enough, all of the alarm systems that I saw that have had this problem typically have got some kind of twisted pair wires coming in both from the telephone system and from the individual sensors, and they wind up on some kind of a terminal block someplace. And how I've killed it in the past and didn't affect the alarm at all. As a matter of fact, you do have to turn the alarm off momentarily to make this modification. But on each zone, there's a pair of twisted pair or, you know, two wires coming in. And on the terminal block, I just basically put a 0.1 microfarad ceramic cap that had about a 100-volt rating and with about between a quarter of an inch to a half-inch lead length on the capacitor. I basically put it across the line. Then what I do is in the twisted pair wire that's coming in, or the two wires that are coming in, I'll take a ferrite core and roughly wrap the wire through it about four times and then reattach it back onto the terminal strip. And the mixture between that ferrite on each one of those lines coming in and the point ones, it usually makes the system very, very stable so that basically you don't have any kind of like RF pickup problems or even other glitches sometimes go away that they would have like missed triggers from time to time. And it'll only give you a real problem if the sensor goes open. The other thing is on the telephone line it's a little different. You can't really put a true point one across the telephone line. You can use the ferrite across the twisted pair coming into that, but typically I use something like a 4.7 nanofarad or a 0.0047 microfarad. Back over to you, Dick. K2RIW, KC2QIQ.
Very fine, Glenn. Now those sound like some very nice solutions. So as I see it, Jeff, you've got about three ways to go here. A better balancing device at the antenna, no matter what kind of an antenna it is, that can always make an improvement of any RF energy flowing on your transmission line and being in the shack. Number two, using Barry N2MB to investigate your system. But three, I like the idea of RF bypassing. And so what Glenn is recommending, because he's actually done it, is a ferrite device you get from a place like Radio Shack. That's these two half cores that you wrap around the wire. You wrap the wire through it and put the two cores together. And or he is using a 0.1 microfarad disc ceramic capacitor. And these things have radial leads coming out of them. Is it radial leads? Or actually, yeah, radial leads coming out of them. And those are in the bubble plaques at the Radio Shack. And so each of your sensors, or at least the ones that are giving you trouble, putting those bypassing techniques on it will make it a lot less RF sensitive. The actual alarm system itself is a direct current system running at a reasonably low frequency, so a 0.1 microfarad. It's going to give you a lot of bypassing. Just to make sure you don't do that on the phone line. On the phone line, he's recommending a 0.0047 disc ceramic capacitor. Again, a product that's very inexpensive at Radio Shack. So these are modifications that you could make to your system. And by the way, let me drop. I can tell that there are people who think that we should not be discussing an alarm system. Well, I disagree. I mean, we've discussed an awful lot of subjects on the technical net. Among people who are electronic enthusiasts and reasonably savvy in electronics, I don't see any great harm in discussing it. And for someone to think that the method of operation of an alarm system is such a deep, dark secret that no one could find out about it, and therefore it's proprietary and we shouldn't be discussing it, I can see how someone could come to that conclusion. I think that conclusion is a little bit more severe. I believe it's an appropriate subject for this particular group. If people disagree with me, you can write me and Mel emails and express your opinion, and we'll take them into advisement, if you know what I mean. So I think you see the things that we're recommending, Jeff, and see if you have any further questions, because we're going to have to go on to the next person. And by the way, as you apply these various solutions, Jeff, please come back in future weeks and let us know how it worked, whether it worked, whether it didn't work. Let us know, because you've got an interesting story, and I guarantee your situation is not unique. Obvious by Glenn, Wesley, Rich, and others. quite a few people have run into similar problems. You're not alone. WA2, Romeo Alpha Sierra, K2LIW in the TechNet. Wait for the beep.
Comment.
KC2LDY, I got a comment.
Wesley and LDY recognized, but Jeff first. WA2RAS, go ahead, Jeff.
K2RW, WA2RAS. Okay, very good. I've been writing everything down. That last suggestion by Glenn was very interesting. The thing is to do that without triggering the some sort of an alarm event. There's some sort of a tamper on the system. The only other thing I wanted to mention is when you talk about the ballon, I don't have a ballon at the. It is an inverted V dipole that I use on 40 meters. Don't have a ballon at the feed point. However, I do have a ballon at the tuner. So, in other words, leaving the transmitter to the tuner, there is RF isolation there, a one-to-one ballon. And as a matter of fact, the coax leaving the tuner is shielded. In other words, the coax cable itself is encased in metal tubing, which is grounded, and that runs almost all the way up to the antenna. Just trying to deal with the RF problem. K2RIW, WA2RAS.
LDY recognized and Wesley recognized. You just said some magic words, Jeff. No matter what kind of transmission line you've got, with the exception of open wire line or true twin lead line, you feed a inverted V dipole with true inverted with true open wire line or twin lead line, like 300 ohm twin lead that used to be used on the television sets. Then you've got a balanced system. If your inverted V antenna is fed with anything like coaxial cable, then at the antenna itself is launching RF energy back down the outside of your coaxial transmission line. If you're going to stop that from happening, if you're going to install the right kind of a ballon, it must be at the antenna. You can ballon the living daylight, you can ground the daylight, you can shield the daylight, you can do anything you want in the shack. It's too little, too late, too far downrange. If you launch RF energy on the coax cable at the antenna, you're creating a problem right there of the nature that you're describing. You can't stop that in the shack, with the exception of running true twin lead cable, open wire line up to the antenna. Anything like coaxial cable going to the inverted V, the ballon must be at the antenna, because the antenna itself then will launch RF energy back down that cable. It may be shielded as all heck on the signal going up to the antenna. Once that signal hits the antenna, that shielding is gone. I wonder if that makes some little bit more sense, Jeff. And maybe we've hit the key as to what has been aggravating a number of your systems in your house. WA2RAS, let's make sure that this concept is being understood. K2RIW, you got it, Jeff. Wait for the beep.
I understand what you're saying. These are two different antennas that we're talking about. The previous problem with the sprinkler system was an 80 meter antenna, although also fed with coax, an 80 meter half wave dipole, and this one is the different 40 meter. Neither one has a ballon at the antenna. I didn't see RF in the shack on 80 meters. I used one of the like a Heathkit field strength meter to check that. And however, I did see it on 40, hence the fairly elaborate shielding that's going on in the shack. But point taken. Back to you, Dick.
This sounds like a perfect application for a poor man's ballon up at each antenna in 2YJC.
I agree with you, Lou. Lou is recommending that the poor man's ballon, the multiple turns of coaxial cable taped together as close as you can get to the center of your 80-meter antenna and the center of your 40-meter antenna, right at the point of feeding, creating an RF choke on the outside of the coax cable so that RF energy cannot be fed back down into the shack. Had those balloning devices at the antenna themselves been installed, Jeff, quite possibly each of these situations you've run into would not be present. So to attack the problem at the source, as opposed to multiple steps downrange, is the way to work smarter instead of harder. So I do recommend that. We have both Wesley and Steve in that order who are going to make some further comments. N2XJN, KQRIW, wait for the beep, and give us a little bit less audio, Wesley.
Okay, N2XJN. Well, I kind of disagree with Glenn in terms of the telephone line. What he forgot to say is that most of the Honeywell systems and most of the alarm systems at all, they have a very simple principle of the telephone line being connected to the alarm system, which is the two terminals, mostly green and red wires, are coming, there is an incoming telephone line. And then the two terminals that go to the telephone system or to the telephone by itself, physical telephone, the outgoing line. What actually is happening, it's a closed loop. That means there is nothing between incoming and outgoing, just because that goes to the contact of the relay. Now, the first device on the telephone line is an alarm system. There is nothing else, and that's the mandatory factor required for the alarm system to work properly. In other words, if you have a telephone line coming to the alarm system and then from two other terminals going to the telephone, you cannot have any kind of problem with the electronics. It's impossible to have it. Unless you're operating with very, very high SWR ratio and actually creating all kinds of weird stuff with any kind of electronics. You gotta understand also, and the second thing, that the panel by itself is made from the metal. So if the gentleman has the pipe directly, and that's what he's supposed to check, directly coming from the box, and he's got the proper grounding, he's got the Faraday cage. So there is very difficult to get this kind of problems. Now, the twisted wire, mostly used in Category 5 cable also, is a very good wire for the wiring, but has one bad spot. It's the gauge 22 instead of gauge 18, which is recommended for the alarm system. Most of the alarm guys, they use gauge 22. Back to you, Dick, and to XJM.
Interesting information, Wesley. However, if the system is looking for 2,000 ohms, of proper sensing resistance at the remote sensor, unless you're running a large number of feet of wire, 18 gauge versus 22 gauge, that might not be a problem. But a person would have to look at the wire gauge and the resistance, and he has to add the resistance twice because there's a wire going out there and a wire coming back of that twisted pair. So in some circumstances, I think Category 5 cable could be used, but that's an opinion. Now, quite possibly, I've mixed up Richie and Steve. I thought I was hearing LDY, and I think it's LTY. KT2 Lima Tango Yankee. I know, Rich, you probably got a comment on this. Go right ahead with your comment. K2RIW in the TechNet. Or was it LDY? The person who said they had a comment. KC2LDY or LGY. Go right ahead with your comment. Okay, maybe the person's not there. Steve?